Pope Benedict XVI returned here to Rome yesterday after a six-day visit to Latin America that took him first to Mexico and then to Cuba. As he left Cuba, the Holy Father called on all the people of the country to open their hearts to Christ's gospel so as to authentically renew their personal and social life. Retired Bishop and Jesuit Luis del Castillo now serves as a parish priest in Cuba. He spoke to us about the long-term consequences of the Pope's visit.
Well, I think the visit was exceptionally good, but in order to understand what we can expect for the future from this visit, we have to place the event in context. First, the global context of a world that is worried because of economic instability, difficulty in national governance and international relations, and also a worry for the overall ecology of the continent and the world. The responsibility in front of this context is that in order to overcome all these difficulties, we need honest, ethical people. And many of the reasons for the situation is the fact that many corrupt and unethical people are running many of the responsibilities in different countries and worldwide. The second context is the context of Cuba. The president, Raúl Castro, in his speech welcoming the Pope at the airport, stated that the government is prepared to change all that has to be changed. So we're in a context of internal change. The sixth Congress of the Communist Party last year established a number of guidelines in order to adjust the economy of the country to new times in the world economy and internally to increase production, especially of food, because Cuba today has to buy outside, has to import 80% of all that we eat. This situation means there is a movement inside the country. The third context is the context of the church. This visit takes place in and as an event within a national jubilee, Marian Jubilee, in the 400th anniversary of the discovery of an image of Our Lady that over the centuries has become the patron of Cuba, not just for the Roman Catholics, but for the population at large as an icon of the Cuban nationality. The preparation for this jubilee has meant the affluence of large numbers of people, rivers of people, that came when this image of Our Lady visited every city, every parish, even in rural areas. And obviously not just practicing Catholics, but people from all walks of life, of all ideologies and all religious convictions have a very particular relationship to this image of Our Lady. The visit has meant, within these contexts, an improvement of relations between the church and possibly different religious convictions and the government. The church, the Roman Catholic Church in Cuba, is experiencing an increase in newcomers The challenge today is to prepare sufficient numbers of adult catechists for people who may have been baptized as children, but then were absent from church for decades and come back to church now. So we have more newcomers than old-timers. This requires evangelization and catechesis. There's also a new presence in the rural areas and suburban areas where there are no churches through what are called casas mission, or homes where the neighbors gather weekly for Bible study, catechesis, and when the priest is available, even the Eucharist and other sacraments, baptism and confession. The relations between this growth in the church and the government ought to be studied according to Raúl Castro's speech on the 1st of August of last year, 1st of August 2011, in front of the National Assembly, where he was very, very clear in expressing that there has to be a change in attitude in relation to the people who practice any religion. And I think it is worth looking at this speech and quoting what the president has to say in front of the assembly and all the state apparatus from top to the local authorities. Both Raúl Castro's speech and the Pope's message, and also the president of the Bishops' Conference in his welcoming address at the Mass in Santiago, there is an expression, a desire, a wish for a broader participation of Christians in public life. This will be a challenge for the government to open the private sector that today is practically inexistent to brainstorming, creativity, initiatives, and also sharing in creating a new country. This was expressed in different ways. A country that is more open to the world, a country that is an expression of human rights in all the extension of these human rights. I think this is one of the expected results from this visit. So one would be within the church, because the Pope was very clear in inviting a renewal of faith and practice for all the Catholics, but also inviting them to be more proactive in the building of the renewal of this society. And on the part of the government, the challenge is to open the organization of the country to a broader participation of the private sector, in this case in particular, to Christians. And finally, I would say the coincidence in many of the messages was an invitation for reconciliation. Reconciliation is needed between those that have been faithful to the church over the last decades and the newcomers. Reconciliation between different ideologies within the island to accept a plural society. and reconciliation between the Cubans in Cuba and the Cubans in the diaspora.
Bishop
I think that
Castillo's,
we
sorry.
Have found two elderly people that are in their respective responsibilities looking to the future. Raúl Castro is preparing the future for the country with this renewal of guidelines from his own Communist Party. And the Pope is looking to the future of the church in this part of the world.
If I may pick up on two of the very many profoundly interesting points you have raised there. The first one being Pope Benedict's call to the faithful of Cuba. Somehow, and in many circumstances, the political aspect of this, the Holy Father's visit to Cuba, has almost overshadowed the spiritual aspect. You mention the Pope's invitation to renewal in the practice of faith and his call for Catholics to be more proactive. And you also speak of a growth, of a return to the church of many people in their adult years, perhaps, who have to be really taught about the practice of the faith. Can you explain or perhaps speak to us a little bit more about that? What do you think the Pope means when he called on Catholics to be more proactive, and how can they do that in Cuba?
In Cuba, the private sector is practically inexistent. And there is no really possible initiative from the part of Christians to be active as lay people are invited in different contexts, as has been very strongly stressed by the documents of the Second Vatican Council. And I think the Pope is hoping that there will be greater acceptance from the part of the government for this participation, and the acceptance that the church, the Christians in general, have a wealth of values for a world that is needing ethical guidance, and has a wealth of volunteer work that could help in areas where both the Archbishop of Santiago and the Pope have mentioned, the areas of the weakest and the neediest, the elderly, the very young people, the sick, those in prisons. In all these areas of special needs, the volunteers that the church can offer for work would need, on the part of the government, acceptance, on the part of the Christians themselves, more proactivity.
Bishop Castillo, another point that you raised that I find extremely interesting is the point of reconciliation between not only the Cuban authorities and church authorities, but also at a very grassroots level between Cuban Catholics and perhaps those of non-religion, no religion or other beliefs. And also, most interestingly, Cuban expats and those still living on the island nation. Some of these Cuban expats were vehemently opposed to this papal visit. Not only, some secular journalists also criticized Pope Benedict's meeting with Fidel Castro, saying he met with Fidel Castro but didn't meet with dissidents. Yet Pope Benedict perhaps was pointing to the need for this reconciliation, to sit down and to talk together. Is this still far off in Cuba between the various sectors of society, or do you see this as a very real possibility for the future?
It will take time, but I think we have to make a clear distinction between a visit, say, from Ban Ki-moon from United Nations, or perhaps Merkel from Germany, with a clear political agenda, and the pastoral visit of the Pope that is aiming at the renewal of persons and communities that will eventually have, as a result, a change in the situation. But we don't have the same type of political itinerary that meetings, for instance, of the European Union or United Nations normally have on these international visits. I think we have to be very clear in making a distinction between those visits that have an immediate agenda and a spiritual pilgrimage, as that of the Holy Father, which aims at least for long term, inviting people to conversion and to a closer identity with Jesus' message, so that persons and communities, societies, can live in a world that is more human and more human-friendly, as he expressed.
Bishop, do you think the Cubans understood Pope Benedict's message?
I don't think they understood all the effects of his words. His messages were particularly short this time, and I think Cuban matters are left to Cubans, and the development of his message and those of the archbishops that welcomed him will require catechesis in the next few months.